Agriculture is a truly diverse industry. Farmers and ranchers grow and raise a wide variety of crops and animals to satisfy the wants and demands of consumers. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rural Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Albrick with Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and today I'm looking forward to exploring the idea of niche markets within agriculture. Joining me is Craig Dischinger, owner of what is the appropriately named for a Minnesota business, the Hot Dish Farm near Raymond, Minnesota. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Your wife, Sean, and yourself raise yak. If memory serves me right, Old MacDonald didn't have yak on his famous farm with the children's song. Could you describe your farm operation and walk us through how you came to the conclusion that this is an area of agriculture in which you'd like to be a part of?
We have a small farm, 9.5 acres. Started as a hobby, raising beef cattle, and we kind of wanted to explore something else. I like to be different. And so we explored bison, we explored water buffalo, and we explored yak. And we felt that yak was the best fit for our farm. It was different. Not many people were doing it. And we really liked the flavor of the meat, which was a big thing in what I liked about it. Yeah, so that's kind of how we transitioned from beef cattle to yaks.
So how many yak are on your farm?
Right now we have 19. And we should have 3 or 4 more calves this summer yet. And that number kind of fluctuates. Tomorrow we'll drop to 18 because we bring one to the butcher. But 19 right now.
Both you and your wife come from a farming background. What were the conversations like when you originally proposed this idea?
We knew we had to do something different. Beef cattle on a small market just wasn't cash flowing well. We were buying all our feed, and so we wanted to switch to something grass-based. And that's where the conversation started, was how can we reduce our input costs but still make profit? And so we wanted to switch to something different as well. And so we researched a few other animals and toured some farms and tasted some meat. And that's how we decided on going. We do grass-fed, grass-finished yak.
So you were able to pick the brains of other yak farmers around the area, or at least the region?
We'll go with region on that one. There's only about 7 or 8 yak farms in Minnesota. We did talk to 2 of them, toured one farm, asked a lot of questions, ate some meat. I emailed some people, part of the International Yak Association. We read a couple articles. But it was definitely a scary first step. We're going to get yaks, kind of question mark. And then it turned into an exclamation point and kind of went from there.
Well, that's a perfect segue into my next question. Transitioning a farm from something traditional to a more niche segment comes with challenges and opportunities. There aren't exactly a lot of yak farmers out there, as you just pointed out. What would you say have been your biggest challenges so far?
The number one biggest challenge is marketing. People say, "What's a yak?" They get this confused look on their face. They think they know what it is. Some people don't know what it is. So it's a lot of education. It's a lot of self-marketing. We can't just bring a yak steer to the sale barn and sell it. We have to bring it to the butcher. We have to advertise, market. We have our own mobile store that we sell out of. I mean, so there's educating our consumer is the first step, one of many challenges, besides raising something with big pointy horns. But I think that's... Yeah, I think education and communicating to our customer what this product is. But I was a teacher for 10 years, so educating people's a fun part of it as well.
So on the flip side, there's obviously opportunities. What would you say are the largest opportunities to get into something like a niche market or yak?
Once you get into a group of people that likes the product, they really go gung-ho for it. In the past 6 months, we've started getting into some CrossFit gyms. And those people are very, they're leery at first, but once they buy in and they're very health conscious, they really like meeting the farmer. And so they'll ask me tons of questions, which I love sharing about my farm. They want to know how their meat is raised. And then we've been invited back to a couple several times, and we meet with customers one-on-one, and
Other livestock groups have associations that really help with areas like marketing and education, two things that you have pointed out. You've also mentioned the international yak breeders. Mm-hmm. Are there any other types of groups out there for people like you?
Well, the biggest group is the International Yak Association, which is based out in Colorado. There's also a new group that started, United States Yak Association. And so they're kind of nationwide groups that are trying to educate. There's two yak shows in the United States, one at the National Western Livestock Show, and then another one that they're going to start down in Kentucky. And so those two groups are also on the education front, and they're good resources for when we have questions on what's wrong with this yak, things like that.
Again, yak are, of course, in this country and this state and area, it's a niche market. Do you ever get together and share some stories with other markets outside of yak? Can you identify with other niche markets and farmers who are doing things that a lot of other people aren't?
Every now and then we run across somebody who is in a niche market. We've talked to some emu people. We've talked to some alpaca farmers, and a lot of them have been in the business longer than we have. And so we'll ask them what their challenges were in marketing and advertising, and they kind of guide us, and then they'll ask us, and we kind of reciprocate with our experiences. Yeah, and just share experiences.
Now, you also have a social media presence in which you post videos, inform followers of what's happening on your farm, and even allow Gertrude, one of your animals, to do some posting of their own. How does technology help you find new customers?
I think Gertrude has played a huge role in our marketing, because whenever she grabs my phone and gives a post, I get the most likes. I think if she would have come today, she would have, but she is kind of become a character on our farm. People love to come and see and pet Gertrude, and they met Gertrude. She is definitely the most friendly yak we have. As far as marketing, I think that works really well, because people are making a connection with this character, this animal on our farm, and they share that with their friends, and they share that with their friends, and we get more likes, and we get more views, and so she's kind of become our mascot, or our go-to yak. We bring her around to fairs and schools, too, and people get to see her, and I don't know, maybe one day she'll have a t-shirt with her face on it.
Well, you got to get creative, though, right? When you're a smaller operation, when you have to directly sell your meat. So you got to find these creative ways.
Yeah, and creativity, I enjoy creativity. And I enjoy thinking outside the box. And so when I can do that and kind of let my imagination run wild in my marketing, you know, I went to school to be a teacher, not a marketer and advertiser, so.
Do you market your meat in other ways outside of the internet? You mentioned CrossFit gyms before. Are there any other ways, maybe some farmers markets or things like that?
We do a farmers market here in Wilmer, Saturday mornings at the Y. And people will walk by our booth, and we'll have a hide set out, and that usually catches people's attention. What's this? And then they come over and we talk. We'll do farm tours. People drive by on the road, and it just looks like some small cows up there or something. They can't really tell it's a yak. But people hear about us. We had a newspaper article, and they'll call and they'll want to come tour. And we've been blessed with a lot of people like yourself that have found us and wanted to ask us more questions. So that's really helped.
Have you thought about potentially marketing your meat into local restaurants and building it that way?
We're open to that idea, but I really enjoy straight to the customer. We've got a few regular customers in Minneapolis that I'll deliver to and, you know, visit with them and connect with them. And I think a lot of our people really enjoy meeting the farmer. But it's something we've thought about, something we've looked into a little bit, but we really haven't gone full in on that because we're not quite big enough to do that.
There's also other parts of the animal that you sell. Could you describe that type of business, some of the other byproducts?
Our top other byproduct is their fiber. They grow two types of hair. They have a coarse guard hair, and then they grow a really fine down winter hair, and that fiber is the third finest fiber in the world. And so in the spring, we comb them with dog brushes, and it takes 6 or 7 combings over a period of 2 months before you get all the fiber off yak. They kind of release it slowly, and so we'll bag that up. We sell it raw. We get it shipped off to made into yarn. We have had some hats and mittens and gloves made out of it. We do that. When we butcher an animal, we get the leather process, the hide process to leather. If they're butchered in the winter, it gets tanned with the hair on. We've sold a hide to people that want to hang it on a wall or put it on a couch. We keep the skulls with the horns on it and finish those out. keep the dog bone or the bones, the skeleton, and our butcher cuts them up and we sell those for dog bones. You know, some organ meat. We have a chef in Minneapolis that really likes the cheek meat. So our butcher's getting good at cutting out the cheek meat for us. And yeah, so we try to utilize the whole animal, not just your regular steaks and ground and stuff. But the whole animal doesn't go to waste.
We are speaking with Craig Dischinger, owner of the Hot Dish Farm. Now let's talk yak, even though that's kind of what we have been talking about, but let's be much more specific. What type of advantages does this animal provide?
Yaks are more disease resistant. My vet expense, my yearly vaccinations are a lot less frequent. The vet doesn't come out nearly as often, and I thought I had a pretty healthy beef cow herd too, but yaks are very hardy. They love the winter. They love the cold. You don't have to worry about them. I had a calf born a couple years ago at the end of November, and a week later it snowed, and the calf was with its mother, and the calf just laid down right by its mother's shoulder. The mother laid its head over the calf to keep it warm at night. You know, very hardy animals. In the summer, they pant like a dog, and they lay out in the sun. They drink lots of water, but they're kind of thick fiber, thick hair, kind of insulates them from the heat as well.
Do they require any type of structure or barn at all?
I have a barn for them. They all have access to that in the winter. In the summer, they are out on farther pastures, and so they have shade and stuff. But really, the only time they use the barn is if it's, you know, 30 below and windy, and they'll use it as a windbreak. They're usually not in the barn a whole lot. In the summer, I do have one group that can access the barn, and they'll lay on the cool concrete once I clean out the manure. They'll come in and just, you know, cool themselves off, but they really don't use it a whole lot.
Yak are a type of bovine. Are they similar to cattle at all? Or how similar to cattle, I should say?
Yes, they're bovine, just like bison, just like cows, just like water buffalo. I would describe it as they have more personality than a cow does. Each yak has its own personal bubble. Some love to be pet and rubbed on and leaned on and led around and will come running over to you when you go in the pen. Others have a huge bubble and they don't want you anywhere near them, but they'll tell you if you're too close with body language, and I'm getting pretty good at reading that. I'm also getting pretty good at jumping over a 4-foot fence, but it comes with the learning process. Each animal has their own personality.
How large does the animal get? So when it's fully mature?
A fully mature female will range between 700 and 1,000 pounds. And then a fully mature bull can get up to 1,500, 1,700 pounds. I try not to keep bulls that long. I like my bull to be 1,100 pounds, 1,200 pounds. And then once he gets bigger than that, then he's down the road. But they're not beef cow size. They're smaller than that. A lot of people think they're bigger until they come out and see them. And then they, oh, these guys are kind of small.
Given that they're not native to North America or this region, do they require anything special?
A good set of running shoes when you get your first herd. Other than that, no. Actually, my fence doesn't have electric in it. I had electric with beef cows. My yak fence doesn't because they would hook the electric off with their horn and it would short out on a fence post. They generally respect the fence. Every now and then I got a few that like to slip through, but they're usually not too bad to put back in.
Yak have a pretty sweet set of horns. What is their temperament like? You mentioned that some are very friendly and some kind of stay away from. But on average, how does it compare to cattle?
Their temperament's really truly dependent on how they're raised as a calf. If they're out on pasture and you never interact with the mother or the calf, as that yak grows, it's not going to want to be around you. I try to get out there and interact with them. I've got a few cows I can walk right up to and pet, and I can pet their calf. And that calf in the future will be very calm and easy to work with when I'm, you know, in the pen working with them, combing them, chipping them out, things like that. So the more interaction you have with them when they're young, the tamer they will be when they're old. Gertrude, for example, was bottle fed from day one and hand raised, and she followed us around the yard like a puppy dog for the first year of her life, and she would lay by the house when we were inside, and you know, so I can whistle to her, call her by name, and she comes out of the pen, and even at 2 years old now. And you know, so it varies.
How long do you normally keep your yak?
Our butcher animals are our bulls that we turn into steers between 3 and 4 years. But our breeding cows will stay with us, I imagine, for the next 20 or so years. They can have calves up until about 20, 22 years old. So they'll be with us for a while. Gertrude will be around a long time.
We talked about marketing the meat to consumers, but let's spend a little bit more time talking about the taste. Is this meat comparable to anything else that's out there?
The texture is very similar to beef. We did a couple blind taste tests with family members, didn't tell them what it was, and had them eat. And we had a plate of Holstein steer meatballs, because that's what my in-laws were familiar with. And then we had a yak plate. And texture-wise, nobody could tell a difference. At the end of the meal, the yak plate was gone, and there was still plenty left on the other one. There's a more sweet flavor to it. If you like your steak and your burger at a medium rare with a good pink in it, you'll get the sweetness to it that's just unmatched by anything else. If you don't like your burger like that, then it's just going to taste like beef. It's not wild or gamey. It's similar.
There's obviously some health benefits of this red meat. What are they? Obviously, people that tend to be more into health look at things as a good protein. How does that compare to this meat?
So we did a comparison. Actually, the International Yak Association did a comparison, and then we added onto it a little bit. Yak has less calories per serving. So the example was done on a ribeye steak. And so the ribeye steak was taken. It was yak, grass-fed beef, bison, and they did a pork chop as well. And the calories per serving were lower for yak. The protein was highest of the four. The bad fats, I forget the technical term, but the bad fats were low and the good fats were high and higher than the others. The omega-3 is the highest that almost any red meat contains. And so that's a big draw to our health conscious people at the gyms. When you're so detailed on your nutrition, every little bit counts, and that's where yak comes to the top over these other meats.
What advice would you give someone who might be thinking of getting into a niche area of agriculture, be it yak or something else?
Come for a tour. Come ask me lots of questions. I think one thing that I found with yak people is we love to help each other out. There's not a lot of yak farms, so we work together on things. I think first thing is just come see it for yourself. Yeah, then do your research, see if it's a good fit, see if you have the good personality to do your own marketing and advertising. That's a really tough part. I am the middleman, I am the farmer, I am the, you know, it's a big package. And so it's a lot to take on, especially if you're going to take it on by yourself or with another farm. Maybe two farms go in on it together. Yeah.
And finally, where can listeners go to find out more about your farm or maybe where to find the meat?
You can find the meat if you're in the Willmar area at Willmar Farmers Market at the YMCA on Saturday mornings. You can come to our farm. We're open by appointment because we're pretty busy. But if you give me a call or send me an email, I am working on a new website, hotdishfarm.com, and we're going to try to do a little online store there. But shipping frozen meat is a challenge early on, so we're working on ironing out those details. But we could work out delivery or pickup or things like that. Yeah, and then our Facebook page where Gertrude likes to post, Hot Dish Farm on Facebook, and you can follow her adventures. You can follow my 5-year-old and 2-year-old son's adventures on the farm, too. And so that's where I'm at.
Craig, thanks for yakking about yaks with us today.
Thanks for having me in. This was a lot of fun.
That's Craig Dishinger, owner of the Hot Dish Farm. That's a wrap for this episode of the Rural Perspectives podcast, which is a production of Egg Country Farm Credit Services. To get more great content, please visit www.eggcountry.com.